forever fist, dominant specialist, critical and survivalist, spitting heaven, fire from his lips, burn the slave driver.
Welcome, listeners, to Time for an Awakening on Black Talk Radio Network, New Media for the New Millennia. This is a history and current events program from a cultural perspective. We find this program necessary because Hosea 4:6 states, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. But we as a people can turn this around. Proverbs 4:7 states, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all that getting, get an understanding. Again, welcome to the program this evening with your hosts, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. The number to reach us to join the conversation this evening is 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We're streaming live at several locations. You can go to timeforanawakening.com. That's timeforanawakening.com, which is home base, and listen to the live stream from that location. You can go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. Again, that's blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening and listen to the live stream there. You can go to ourradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening. Again, that's ourradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening and listen to the live stream from that location also. Or you can download TuneIn to any of your handheld devices. TuneIn is a free app. And in a TuneIn search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening radio program. There you'll see the icon, and you can stream the program live, even into your car, if you have the auxiliary connection. Again, that's Time for an Awakening radio program with the live stream on the TuneIn app. Drop us an email at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. That's timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Time for an Awakening also has a fan page on Facebook. In that Facebook search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening radio program. There you'll see, always see interesting content being posted daily. And before you leave that page, do me a favor and hit that like button. That's Time for an Awakening radio program with the fan page on Facebook. And Time for Awakening Media home base is there. Again, as just as I've been saying for the past week or so, as changes being made to the website to accommodate the new programs and some of their podcast content, just a few changes that's going to be made so you can download and listen to all of the programs that are featured on Time for an Awakening. The changes ought to be finished within the next couple of weeks, and you will be able to download all of the programs that are featured on Time for Awakening from the website. Again, make that one of your favorites. Put that in your address bar. That's timeforanawakening.com. Timeforanawakening.com will take you straight to Time for an Awakening Media. Tonight, 2 weeks in a row. Well, not really 2 weeks in a row. We're in open form this evening, but first, stopping by for an update on the heels of the resignation of Congressman John Conyers. We'll be hearing from activist, organizer, and legislative chair of NCOBRA. Brother Cam Howard will be with us to give us an update on some events that has been happening since he's been last with us. And we'll be right back to get the program started after a brief word from our sponsors.
Our distinguished guests, brothers and sisters, our friends and our enemies. Everybody is here.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Not a Wu-Tanger. All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency and business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
Overworked? Suffering with an underperforming company, headache customer, staff, or vendors? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? We turned a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one transformation created for entrepreneurs like you in various industries around the country. Not what you're used to from accounting and business consulting? Well, welcome to New Business Solutions. If you're ready to go beyond advising, coaching, and training and get implemented results, call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions apply the best comprehensive administrative, accounting, operations, human resources, management, sales, and marketing to help you actualize your vision for yourself and your company. From anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072, spelled new as in numerous, on your device right now. Book your free consultation at newbusinesssolutions.com.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
From antiquity to the present, our people need to develop a new paradigm. It's time for an awakening with your host, Brother Elliot. Sundays, 7 p.m., Fridays at 8 p.m. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit us up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Welcome back. It's a time for an awakening, and before we get started with our program this evening, I want to welcome in my co-host, Philadelphia activist and tour guide at the African American Museum here in Philadelphia at 7th and Arch Street. Brother Richard is with us. Brother Richard.
Yes, sir, Brother Elliot.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
I'm doing great, man. On this Sunday evening here in Philadelphia, the snow is over. I know you were out there doing a little shoveling there, Richard.
Hey, look, Elliot, you know I shouldn't expose myself to the listening audience, but I'll just try to, and I'm not totally real, but as real as I can be. I waited till the sun came to melt what was there. I said, I ain't going out there.
Oh, man.
And it did. So nature was working with it. We was in harmony.
Oh, okay. You took the lazy way out, huh?
There you go. Now, I ain't expecting everybody to do that, you know, but I had the opportunity.
Okay.
And I was working with me this time.
All right. Yeah, well, we had snow, but it was other areas around the country that don't usually get snow at all that had it also, like down south, Mississippi, Alabama, I think, Georgia, Atlanta got snow. A lot of things going on. You know, it's time for change.
Yeah, it's definitely. I wonder if this is a part of that 26,000-year cycle that we're coming to the end of, or is it truly about global warming that they're trying to tell us about?
Well, I know what cycle we we should be in and we need to be in, and I think it has a lot to do with the awakening of our people worldwide, to be honest. That's the way I feel. Tonight, we're kind of scheduled to go in open forum, but first we're going to hear from one of our past guests, a friend of the program, on the heels of the resignation of Congressman John Conyers. We want to hear from activist, organizer, and legislative chair of NCOBRA, Brother Cam Howard, to give us an update on some things that have been going on. Brother Cam, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm good, Brother Elliot. How's it going? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. We're getting a little echo.
Good evening, Brother Richard.
How you doing there, brother? It's good to hear you again.
We get a little echo. You might be on a hands-free, but let's see what we can do. You still there, Brother Cam?
I am.
Okay. Yeah, you might be on a hands-free, but let's see how we make out audio-wise. Brother Cam.
Is this any better?
Oh, yeah. Great, great.
Okay, cool.
Listen, the last time you were on, you know, we went over a lot of things dealing with reparations, Bill H.R. 40, things of that nature. And, you know, we kind of want you to get back on periodically to give us a little update. But some things have really been happening over the past month. And just want you to kind of give our listening audience a little understanding on some of the things that have been going on. Not in any order necessarily, but first I want to deal with the, because I know you had the press conference there at Chicago State University, dealing with
right.
the demands there on the mayor, former President Obama and others. But before we get to that, let's deal with something that's been in the news the past couple of weeks. The heat had been on Congressman Conyers, and I think at the beginning of the week, he said that he would resign his seat. Talk about the implications of Congressman Conyers resigning in relation to House Bill H.R. 40. Is it anybody that has been groomed for succession? Just tell us from your perspective, not necessarily the political perspective, Brother Cam, but from your perspective, what's going on, and just fill our listening audience in.
Yep, let me put H.R. 40 in context before I further attempt to elaborate on your question.
Go ahead.
Since the end of enslavement up until the end of post-Reconstruction, into Reconstruction, there were several black congresspersons who had been elected in the Congress, and they had put together, you know, civil rights legislation, legislation around the Freedmen's Bureau. I don't know if they had anything to do with the Freedmen's Bureau, but that was also legislation that was supposedly to target people of African descent from the horrors, from the inequalities that existed from the periods of enslavement. After Reconstruction up until the end of segregation, there were no national legislation crafted to address the inequalities from enslavement, then a new set of inequalities or compounded inequalities from Jim Crow segregation. Fast forward after the end of segregation and the civil rights laws from 1965 on up to 1989, there still was not any national legislation crafted to address the issues and the harms that we suffered from enslavement, Jim Crow segregation, and post-Jim Crow. And it was in 1989 when one piece of legislation was introduced by Congressman John Conyers at the request of Reparations Ray Jenkins, who was a member of NCOBRA up in Detroit. He was a real estate agent, successful real estate agent, and he requested repeatedly to get Congressman Conyers to introduce this legislation. And NCOBRA worked with them on crafting the legislation and study bill, or H.R. 40. that was introduced in 1989. Since that time, there has not been any other legislation by any other U.S. congressman.
Brother Grant?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Mm-hmm.
Okay, there has not been any legislation since 1989 other than H.R. 40 to address the issues of enslavement other than the apologies that were crafted in 2004 and 2006. So that's the significance of H.R. 40. It's the only legislation on a national level that seeks to engage people of African descent from the standpoint of justice due to us as a result of the crimes committed against our ancestors and that we're still suffering from. So that's the context. Now, when Congressman Conyers determined he would resign, that left H.R. 40 just up in the air. There's a procedure that the bill must go to if it is to remain an active bill in pursuit of being passed. And that procedure is that some congressperson has to step up on the House floor and claim responsibility of the bill, that they will take responsibility, hold hearings or whatever, seek to get more co-sponsors, push the bill forward. Right now, that's the challenge that we have as people of African descent. There's been talk with Congressman Conyers' aide, with myself from NCOBRA, with Dr. Ron Daniels of the National African American Reparations Commission and the Institute of Black World. He's also been talking with Conyers' aide has also been talking with other members of the reparations movement. I think one or two, and there's a chance that a meeting will be held after Congress comes back from their vacation, holiday vacation. We were attempting to get on the CBC agenda. They meet every Wednesday before they left. They had one more meeting this Wednesday. We were trying to get on the agenda, go to D.C., get before them, get the issue of H.R. 40 raised and put into their minds that this is something that we cannot let die with Congressman Conyers exiting the House of Representatives. We were not able to get on the agenda because the agenda was already set, but we were told that at their meeting on Wednesday that there was talk about Conyers' legacy. That was very ambiguous. We don't know what they talk about his legacy, whether did H.R. 40 come up or not. The way it was told us, we don't think H.R. 40 specifically came up. But they were talking about Conyers' legacy, whatever that means, that they have some type of responsibility to ensure that it is not, it does not go unrecognized. And that some of the things he worked on, there will be a continued struggle for, specifically the CBC and its goals as a body.
Brother, go ahead, Brother Gary.
So that leaves us, those of us in the reparations movement who are looking at, national legislation in a situation of a quandary. How serious do the CBC take H.R. 40 when we couldn't get a full body to sign on, and there's only half of them that signed on? So, and then who can we get who would, on the CBC, who would take the issue up and go forward with it? There's talk about putting together a short list. I know that in Chicago, there are several CBC members who are signed on now who have been on, 15, 20 years, as long as they've been in Congress. Some are the two in Illinois and Chicago where I'm at, they're both pretty old. there's no telling how long they'll be in Congress. So that's like a temporary fix, if any, to get one of them to take it forward. And, you know, with them trying to make sure that their legacy is intact, I don't know how much push we can really get out of them. There's a short list that's being formed. There's also a look at a non-African congressperson, or the look at not just one, but trying to get several, a group, to take it on, although one would be the lead, but having the responsibility split between just more than one congressperson and their staffs. So that's where we're at right now. We won't really know for certain on what strategy we'll take until we can have a meeting. We are undergoing a national campaign called Seize the Time, where we're trying to just get out in the public that this is the time to move H.R. 40. We have to seize the time. Although Kanye's resignation is can have, we don't know what type of effect. We can try to make it have a positive effect on this legislation, on moving this legislation forward if we, you know, push the right levers.
Is it anybody that you have heard that is planning to, because from what I understand, according to published reports, they're not going to take a vote on his seat. Somebody will be appointed. And then, you know, when the election comes up, I guess they'll take a vote on his seat. Is it anybody that's supposed to finish out his term? Have you heard of?
Yeah, well, he's suggesting that his son finish his term. John Conyers III or something like that, junior.
Okay.
But his grandson, who's a state assemblyman, is saying that he wants it. He's filing for it. So there's even a struggle within the Conyers family as who will take his seat. So that's the latest I've heard.
Do you know either one of those men, Brother Cam?
I do not.
Okay. Wow. You know, and I'm going to pass the mic to Brother Richard, but, you know, as you were talking and you mentioned that they were having meetings on discussing Congressman Conyers' legacy, and I think, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, he was one of the founders of that CBC. How you can discuss a legacy and don't discuss H.R. 40 or start having preliminary talks of who's going to take up that banner, I don't understand it. That might be the last straw for the black public, that who the CBC is supposed to represent, to really come out in force and let these people know that they don't appreciate the way they're being represented by so-called leadership. If they let this just go by the wayside. And I know that the men and women involved in all of the movements, whether it's in COBRA, September 12th, or any of the reparations movements, if they have to even approach somebody of a non-African descent to take up this bill, I mean, you know, that, Brother Cam, I just don't know what to say in reference to that.
Yeah, that is be one of the things that would like really like put the nail in the coffin, as you said, about this particular leadership or representation. I don't even call them leadership, but representation that we have, that they're totally illegitimate if we have to go and get a Cohen or someone else to push H.R. 40. But, you know, the thought was just put out there, you know, that may be a possibility.
Brother Richard.
Yeah, I was, and thanks, Brother Cam, for, you know, continuing to do the work that you do, especially now under these difficult times in relationship to the reparations bill and reparations in general. And you mentioned the short list, and I don't know if it's unfair, you know, to throw out any names that you would feel would hope, I don't even like to use that word, you would believe. Any name that you would think would be helpful to, at least if they couldn't do anything else to put, you know, to take that position, to put it on the floor. Is there somebody that, you know, that you think that ideally would be the best person amongst the worst persons we have here?
Yeah, I like the way you reference that. Well, you know, I can't speak in those terms when I'm trying to get some of these first people to work with us. So I'll let you speak like that for me, brother.
I appreciate
it. I don't share some of your thoughts.
Yeah, and I don't know why, and while you were talking, Brother Elliot, you know, the person came to mind because he is, and you mentioned about age. I think it's Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, and I believe he's out of New York. And I would just, and I don't have, I mean, I've heard him a few times, you know, in different sessions or whatever. And I ain't saying that, and I don't know if he's been one of the names that had signed on. So I'm kind of just throwing that out there. And if y'all would oblige me, I would say to the listening audience that now is the time for us to at least give those congresspersons a call to say to get their butt at least to in this next Wednesday. Did you say next Wednesday they have their meeting or they're putting things on the agenda floor for themselves? At least to get them to put that on their agenda. If we can call now, that would be helpful, I would assume. But I'll raise the question because you mentioned the seize the time. Is that a campaign or is that something that we should expand on that as what we could do in order to promote that seize the time at this moment?
Okay. Okay. First, you asked about a short list and who would probably be on that list. Hakeem Jeffries' name was raised yesterday in a phone conversation. Actually, I was on a radio station in Chicago, and the host, Salima Wakil, raised that, his name, as you did. And my first response to him, as I will share today, was that I know, have seen some of his legislation, but he was the first CBC member to come out asking for Kanye's resignation. So I don't know. That says a lot to me as far as, you know, where he's at.
Okay.
And probably approaching him. But Sheila Jackson Lee, it was a name that came up. Of course, Danny Davis is a name that came up. Gwen Moore out of Milwaukee is a name that came up. Bass out of California, the name that came up. And there's Cohen, who's a out of Tennessee, Memphis, white guy who authored the apology in the House, introduced that. A white congressperson out of New York, Jewish liberal, I can't think of his name right now, but he's been signed on H.R. 40 for 15, 20 years or so. So those would probably be the short list. Danny Davis in Chicago, but you know, he's of age, but he's held hearings on reparations. Don't know any of the younger congresspersons who recently elected who will push it. I know that now that Movement for Black Lives have a reparations as one of their center platforms, or two of their platforms that they're going to push out of the five are reparations and I think criminal justice, so the five that they authored in their piece. So maybe we can get them to also examine who we could potentially get and in their age group. So, yeah, so the first two questions, the short list and Hakeem Jeffries, I'll respond that way. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, yeah, it was just seize the time.
Yeah, seize the time is a slogan that we're trying to push for. What we're trying to do is begin to, not just in Cobra, but there's a group called Hashtag 40 Acres or More, which is a reparations think tank that I'm also a part of that was convened by Dr. Ray Winbush and Adjoa Yotero. And Dr. Ife, and I'm forgetting her last name, but it was convened at Morgan State University. About 15, 20 people came out for a two-day strategy session. they're putting out some things on Seeds of Time, and we just want to have propaganda going out from various sources and from various forces with that term, Seeds of Time, in relationship to H.R. 40 reparations. And so it's not a campaign just by one particular group, but something that we're going to, a theme that we're going to use for this particular time.
And my last question for now, I know that you had it was a convention in New Orleans, was that a convention that took place around reparations in New Orleans? Recently.
It was last weekend. The National African American Reparations Commission, which was convened by Dr. Ron Daniels, was patterned after the CARICOM Reparations Commission. Dr. Daniels called forth a group of 15 scholar activists, lawyers who has been in the reparations movement or he thought would be helpful and moving the reparations movement forward. So on that commission is Dr. Julia Malveaux, Attorney Nkechi Taifa, Judge Lionel Baptiste out of Chicago, Conrad Orell, Yvette Modestine, who's a sister who's up in Boston, who's done a lot of work on Afro-Latinas. Dr. Patricia Newton, who's the president of the Black Psychiatry Association. Mama Joanne Watson, Reverend Dr. Joanne Watson, who Conyers broke his resignation on her show, as well as she worked for Congressman Conyers at one time. On H.R. 40, she was a councilwoman in Detroit and a lifetime member of COBRA. Who else is on that commission? And I'm forgetting. Dr. V.P. Franklin, the editor of the African American Street Journal that was started by Carter G. Wilson. And a few other people on that commission. We came together with a 10-point platform, reparations platform, similar to the CARICOM platform, and we began about a year and a half ago having town hall sessions around the country to introduce the platform and to get community buy-in as well as input on the platform. And so we did our first one in Atlanta last June, and this was the second one in New Orleans. And I think the next one will be in California, Los Angeles. I think we were talking about that. But, yeah, the goal is to get the two goals. Is to introduce the three goals, really. It's a fundraiser for the commission. It's to put the platform out and get community buy-in and support input. And to the third goal is to have working sessions of the commission on different things that we're going to push forward. For instance, one of the things that we did out of our very first meeting was determine that we would rewrite H.R. 40, which we did. So that came out of the National African American Reparations Commission to revise H.R. 40. And so so part of it was working sessions, what we continue to do heavily as H.R. 40, the direction of that coming out of this conference. But, the first day, Thursday, Danny Glover, who's one of the leading celebrity voices of the reparations movement globally, was a keynote speaker. About 350 people came out for his presentation, which was really good. It raised about $9,000 or so. To assist us to continue to doing the work with NARC. The next day, we had working sessions. Hillary Beckles was there, brother and sister from out of Colombia, and the Afro-Colombians. The situation there is dire. Their brother said that they're on life support. They exited slavery, in the 1880s, but they're close to being back in slavery today. And so when we look at the slavery in Libya, it's closer right here at home. And Colombia has about 15 to 20 million people of African descent. It's the third largest group of Afro descendants, African descendants in the Americas, at the United States and Brazil, which has over close to 100 million people of African descent. So because they're Spanish speaking, we don't hear a lot about them. And one of the interesting things that the brother stated, which I had no idea, was he talked about the production side of the cocaine trade and how devastating it was to their people. We know how devastating the supply, the demand side was in our communities, you know, all the murders and death and even the addictions, breaking up of families where grandparents was taking care of families for a generation, well, actually almost two generations now. But it was just as devastating to the families of our brothers in Colombia and sisters who had to, land was taken, who was forced to farm the coca leaf and all the wars that took place that displaced them. Colombia has the largest displacement of people on the planet, which over 2 million were displaced. And so, yeah, strengthening the international reparations movement was part of what we do with NARC. So, yeah, a lot is going on, brother.
Oh, yeah, it sounds, and those connections sounds important to make as far as the back to that global African connection, especially around a political effort as far as reparations. Yeah. So I definitely agree with you.
We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we're going to spend a little more time with Brother Cam, ask a few more questions, and you can get involved, too, by dialing 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832 to get involved in the conversation with activist, organizer, and legislative chair of NCOBRA, Brother Cam Howard. We'll be right back.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
Overworked? Suffering with an underperforming company, headache customer, staff, or vendors? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? We turned a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one transformation created for entrepreneurs like you in various industries around the country. Not what you're used to from accounting and business consulting? Well, welcome to New Business Solutions. If you're ready to go beyond advising, coaching, and training and get implemented results, call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions apply the best comprehensive administrative, accounting, operations, human resources, management, sales, and marketing to help you actualize your vision for yourself and your company. From anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072. Spelled new as in numerous on your device right now. Book your free consultation at newbusinesssolutions.com.
From antiquity to the present, our people need to develop a new paradigm. It's time for an awakening with your host, Brother Elliot. Sundays, 7 p.m., Fridays at 8 p.m. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit us up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
In 1492, you came up on these shores, 700 years educated by the Moors, 17th century. Genocide in the gun. Middle passage blessed to market the Africans in the so-called land of God. My kind were treated hard. From back then until now, I see and you agree. We have been a misrepresented people from back then until now. Just speak my family tree. We have been a misrepresented people. We have been a misrepresented people.
Welcome back. to Time for an Awakening. We'll be in open forum a little bit later in the program. Right now we're getting an update from activist, organizer, and legislative commission chair of NCOBRA. Brother Cam Howard is with us this evening. Brother Cam.
Yes, sir.
Before I go into asking you a couple of questions, I want to play a clip from the National Global Reparations meeting that was in New Orleans. A group of women addressed the situation there dealing with reparations from a African-American woman's perspective. And I just want to play their what was stated by the sisters. If I can pull this up here.
Greetings. Just as we do not condone or take lightly the present disclosures of sexual harassment, we want to make sure it is never forgotten the unfettered crimes against women of African descent during the enslavement era and beyond that to date still awaits remedy.
Women of African descent have been raped, savagely, brutally wounded physically and spiritually by evil forces which did not determine our humanity.
As attention is called to the ugly reality of present-day sexual harassment, there must also be reparatory justice to the historical sexual violations of Black women during the enslavement era and beyond. This can be accomplished through the passage of H.R. 40, the commission to study and develop reparation proposals for African Americans Act.
In the current climate, every time we hear that a woman has been violated, we have savage racial historical memories. We live in a capitalist racist patriarchy where people believe that bodies belong to them. But I can lift up Recy Taylor, who was raped by 7 white men in Abbeville, Alabama in 1944, and the price was never paid. I lift up Joanne Little, who was raped in a jail cell. Price was never paid. And sister after sister after sister. And so I implore us all in these United States as we come to grips with sexual misconduct, and we understand that women of African descent have experienced more than simple misconduct, that our lives have been snuffed out because of sexual harassment and sexual deviance. It must stop. And that is why, among other reasons, we are so passionate about H.R. 40.
Ashe. Ashe.
Brother Cam, the sisters that addressed that issue, and I see that Suzanne Malveaux was one of them, came out strong in reference to their stance on what has been going on with a lot of white women coming forward, and some Black women, about sexual harassment by these people in law, actors, people in government positions, and some others. Talk about it from the, and I know you can't talk about it from their perspective, but, you were present. What do they feel in reference to the situation dealing with Conyers and who might have to take up the banner? See, because the reason I'm asking in this, I think our people have been affected by being here with Europeans, and we look at our women sometimes to Eurocentric views and view them as second-class citizens, not realizing that our culture and the mores of our people, the women were equal to men in work and in mental capacity, and sometimes surpassed the men. It might have to be one of the women, if somebody takes it up, that H.R. 40, it might have to be one of the sisters that take up that banner. But just talk about it from what you observed and how strong they were in reference to not only their statement, but their feelings on what's going on now.
Yeah, it was very powerful and moving presentation. Even standing there, I was standing there as it were being filmed, and it was very moving spiritually to hear it. And we had talked maybe about a day and a half. Actually, we had begun talking about the Kanye's response maybe before he was even before he stepped down from the judiciary, maybe about a week before that. And Mama Joanne Watson, the second person you heard speak, was adamant in a firm phone conversation that we cannot allow that, you know, not only the sisters, but all of us, men, women, you know, of African descent, we cannot allow this discussion in the public to be around, to be held around sexual harassment and not bringing historical violations of Black women bodies into the conversation. And so we had began putting together a statement, a response on what we would have to say around the sexual harassment allegations by Conyers, and making sure that we don't separate or that we could separate in the minds of our people Conyers the man and H.R. 40, the legislation pushed by Conyers, Congressman Conyers. And so that was the most pressing thing that they wanted to have, one of the most, it was bifold, but one of the pressing things they wanted to make clear is that H.R. 40 was bigger than John Conyers, the man. And we were 100%, that they were 100%.
I think I lost Brother Cam. Brother Cam, you still there?
Can you hear me?
I hear you now. Okay.
Yeah, they wanted to make sure that they that our people understood H.R. 40 was bigger than Kanye's demand, and that no matter what he was accused of, this legislation was bigger than that. And so that was number one. Number two was what it was that they wanted white America to know that every time these allegations of someone being harassed, a white woman being harassed by, you know, a white man, whatever, that Black women feel the historical harassment that has gone unaddressed. And so you can't be all about, you know, righting these current wrongs around sexual misconduct and be silent on the historical sexual misconduct. And so that was the second point that they wanted to make, and I think they made both points very powerfully.
Let's go to 757. 757?
Oh, yeah. I'm really interested in trying to figure out exactly how to follow Mr. Cam, because I'm kind of new to what he's been presenting here. But I also understand the last statement that he made. I stayed pretty active on social media, pushing the fact that Time magazine didn't actually honor the Black woman who actually started that movement, when we actually had been pushing that for several weeks before they came out with putting the women on their magazine. So I'm just going to mute myself and keep listening. But I would like to get the accurate information on how to follow him so I can actually get up to speed, because he's bringing back memories to me of Shirley Chisholm and the original Black caucus boycotting Richard Nixon's speech when I was a junior in high school. That's how long I've been following this kind of thing. So I'm glad to see it surface, and I'm hoping we can make it over the hump this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Hoods.
Yeah, brother, we got to seize the time. I was going to keep saying that. And so, Brother Elliot, I hope that you will perpetuate that this slogan, man, this theme. As we talk about reparations and what we're doing, that we definitely need Black media to assist us in that. Yeah, so the brother can ask about how he could reach out. Mm-hmm. You can go to the www.encobraonline.org, and you can find our national webpage.
Brother Cam, the you mentioned to Richard in conversation that Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, have taken up the as one of their planks, reparations.
Yes,
I think that's excellent, because that exposes a whole generation of young people that might not have been familiar with reparations, what's it for, why it's necessary, to kind of get up to speed. Talk about it from some of the veterans that have been out here for a while, when they understood that these things were going to be taken up by a whole new generation of black folks. I knew they were elated, but just talk about it from that perspective.
Yeah, definitely. You know, if you look at the traditional reparations organizations, you know, everybody there is over 40, even over 50. So we see a graying of the reparations movement. So, and we have been struggling for the last, 5 years or so on how to get more youth involved in the movement. We were trying to do so by bringing them into our organizations, but this youth determined they wanted to do things their way. And so they formed Movement for Black Lives after Black Lives Movement started, Black Lives Matter started. Movement for Black Lives is about 60 to 80, and that number is growing, of black millennium-led organizations that have loosely come together under the coalition Movement for Black Lives. And they have a policy roundtable. They have several roundtables, but one of them is a policy roundtable, which came up with a 5-point platform, I think it was 5, and one of them was reparations. So when we saw them champion issue reparations, we're definitely elated, like you said, and we've partnered with them. They came to our meeting, Atlanta meeting at, with NARCS, the Atlanta meeting. We were able to do some things together. They were represented in New Orleans, and they had a meeting in Atlanta a few months ago where they determined that they were going to just focus on 2 of their platform issues, and one of them was reparations. So we're really happy about that. And so, everybody in the movement understands that reparations has always been an intergenerational movement, and that what we do is built off what someone else has done. And so we're just trying to prepare our youth to a solid foundation as they take up the cause. So, we're happy that they're involved.
Brother Richard.
Yeah, I'm going to ask probably an unfair question, Brother Cam. Do you think the political climate at this time is kind to some degree kind of muffling the call for reparations in relationship to the broader African-American community hearing it, realizing that this is a time where, if no other, where it's needed to have that push, this whole thing of sexual harassment, taxes, and whatever. Do you think that that's muffling in relationship to the black community, or the message is just as strong as it has been in the black community?
Well, I don't know if the message has been strong in our community for a number of years. It's growing. One of the challenges we have being active in the movement is that among activists, there's a lot of work being done around, these various issues that we have that we're seeing our issues as separate issues as opposed to, all issues subsumed under climate issues.
Brother Cam?
You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now.
Okay. I was saying how, we have so many issues we're fighting and we're seeing these issues as separate issues, so you don't have everyone unified around the issue of reparations because they're not seeing what they're doing as a result of the crimes against our humanity. Mm. So that's really the biggest challenge. So when you have these other issues come up, like the sexual harassment, like the taxes, all this, people are just splintered working on those because they don't see the connection. So our challenge is to show that all of these are connected. And I think we're beginning to do that better. And so the more we do that, then all these other issues that come up won't distract us. In fact, it should be able to even strengthen what we're doing, because we can say, well, here's another issue. Well, here's another issue that mm-hmm. supports our call. And so when we get to that level, then we can, see some victory.
I agree.
Brother Camp, listen, I know that you got another meeting slated. I just wanted you to come spend some time with us, give us an update on what's going on. The door is always open for you to come back and,
I greatly appreciate it, brother.
As things break.
If I can, just say a little bit about the Chicago piece.
Certainly. Oh, you know what? I forgot to even ask you about that. Oh, man, that was one of the things that, take as much time as you need. Because I know you had a meeting you said you wanted to go to, but take as much time as you need. You know, you had that press conference to talk to, make the demands on Chicago State University and make demands on that Mayor Emanuel and former President Obama about the situation of reparations in relation to Chicago State University. But talk about that, Brother Cam.
Actually, it's the University of Chicago.
Okay.
Not Chicago State.
I'm sorry.
Chicago State is a state, it's a predominantly black institution. It's not a historical black institution, but the University of Chicago is one of the most elite schools in the country, second to Harvard. And that's a close second, if it is a second to that. But as far as effect it has had on public policy in America over the last 30, 40 years, the University of Chicago is probably number one. But anyway, a group of students, four graduate students in the history department, I think it was two black, two white, decided to, as a result of things that were going on around other college campuses, the elite college campus, to look into the history of the University of Chicago in relationship to any slavery ties. And so they found out that the original campus was donated by Stephen Douglas. Stephen Douglas was the politician who debated Lincoln in the Lincoln-Douglas debates. He inherited a plantation in Mississippi, which financed his political career. He came up to Illinois, Chicago, utilized those profits, furthered his political career, furthered his investments in real estate, and later donated the land in which the University of Chicago was erected in the Bronzeville area. In 1890, they subsequently, 1889 or 1890, they filed bankruptcy and moved the university to its Hyde Park location. They took with them all the books, most of the teachers, his donors. So all of his assets transferred with them except for the land. And so when the students uncovered that, they raised a list of demands the university ignored. One of the demands was that the university acknowledge the descendants of the enslaved Africans on the Douglas plantation, because even under Mississippi standards, the Douglas overseer was the worst in the state. He was the most vicious evil in the state. And even some of the enslavers, other Mississippi enslavers, wanted this guy gone. And it was reported to Douglas that the overseer was literally working these Africans to death in the span of 2 or 3 years. And if he continued, he would lose all of his property, which meant enslaved Africans, if he allowed this guy to continue. And all of his letters went unanswered. Douglas didn't even answer these letters from other enslavers. He just ignored them, continued to reap the profits. And so the university students wanted them to acknowledge the descendants. In fact, just last week, they were in Mississippi. I talked to them on Friday, trying to find some of the descendants, and I think they had. The second demand was that they acknowledge that the original founding of the university was 1856, I think it was, and not 1890, which they're trying to claim as their founding. So they're trying to deny the history, or they're saying, yeah, the history was there, but we're going to deny it. That was the old campus, which folded. And then the third thing they wanted was a comprehensive reparations plan program for Black Chicago. Initially, it was limited to the area around the university, but we've been talking with them to expand that. to the entire city. And so we found out about their report. We contacted them. They contacted us. We had a couple of meetings. They had some actions on the campus they invited us to. One of the actions, a couple of actions, Ta-Nehisi Coates was there. In fact, Atlantic Magazine sent a video team to our press conference to film what we were doing. They're going to do some type of a documentary, Ta-Nehisi Coates' magazine. So he was there, and at one of those rallies, it dawned on me that the university did not, in denying this history, they did not file a slavery disclosure report as required by law. Any corporation, since 2002, Chicago have a law called the Chicago Slavery Era Insurance Disclosure Report that mandates that any corporation that wants to do business with the city, wants a contractual relation with the city, they have to disclose what ties or profits they have from enslavement. They got to name the names. They got to, you know, it has a detailed report. And if they don't, according to the law, all contracts must be voided. So once we that thought hit me, I said, you know, we had to do something in regards to this. This is the leverage we need. So I contacted some of the older heads who were around during the slavery disclosure time and who had been trying to enforce that. Alderman Dorothy Tillman, her daughter, who did a lot of research. Bob Brown, who filed a lawsuit in regards to that. And so Bob Brown suggested that Inkoba write an open letter and that we addressed not only the University of Chicago, but the mayor and the Obamas. And so I crafted a letter, an open letter. We determined that we were going to deliver the letter to the university trustees. We'd deliver it to the Obama home. And then we would also then leave there and take it to City Hall and deliver it to the mayor. Demanding that the mayor uphold the law. Now, this is important because the University of Chicago is a lead contractor with the Obama Library. And so technically, the city of Chicago must stop all actions on the Obama Library until this report is done. And so what we're trying to do and COBRA is trying to do is utilize this as a leverage to get the University of Chicago to finance what we are calling a reparations Marshall Plan for Black Chicago, something that can be duplicated around the country. It's similar to H.R. 40, the new H.R. 40, which should produce a commission to develop a comprehensive reparations program based on international norms. So the University of Chicago has the resources. It has, you know, money, space for conferences, panel discussions, symposiums, whatever. It has the finances where we can bring people in to craft that Marshall Plan. And it has, of course, some intellectual resources that we can use on the campus. And so that's what we're trying to do is force this city to force the university into a discussion unless they want these all these contracts voided. Well, we had the press conference. The mayor co-opted our press conference by having another press conference at the same time at a black high school, honoring some black high school students. And so all the media went with him, the TV media, but it was, of course, some print media that was there with us in City Hall. And so it's the first step, man. We're gonna continue this. We have our filed a Freedom of Information Act request. All of the contracts with the University of Chicago, they sent me a bogus response, and we've sent them a reply back saying, no, this is not research that we're supposed to do. Thank you for showing us on your website where we can find this. According to law, you're supposed to have these reports, and they're supposed to be made public, and you're supposed to do them annually. So we're not required to do the research. You know, this is research you should already have at your disposal for our purview at our request. So that's where we're at right now. We do have a law on our side. We do haven't have any black alderman at this time who's ready to push this because it would need to be pushed by the city council. They would have to push the mayor to engage it if he doesn't want to do it on his own. So it's a struggle, but we have a high leverage position.
Well, at least you can see they're feeling the heat because them scheduling a press conference at the same time that, you were doing theirs, it shows that they're feeling the heat. And, you know, it's good that, you know, because when I seen the press release and I seen that you were involved and speaking, I thought it was an initiative that Encobra was championing. But I'm glad that that you were asked to be involved by some of the young people. That really shows that a new mindset is working or at work.
Right, definitely. You know, the initiative around the slavery disclosure order is an Encobra-led piece. So, that was something that we thought we could leverage to get all of their demands met.
Okay.
But certainly we adopted their demands. But our biggest push is for a Marshall Plan for Black Chicago that can be replicated at, with these other universities. So, once the plan is produced, you know, our goal is to then get these other engineering corporations to fund the plans, fund whatever programs and projects come out. Our first goal is to get the program, get the plan crafted.
You know, it's kind of ironic, Brother Cam and Richard, that a president that said he was against reparations didn't want to talk about it. Now, the issue of reparations is right back in his face.
Right back in his face. That's right, brother.
Wow. Brother Cam.
And they have a time schedule they want their library built on, too. So
They do.
Bringing this issue up does put pressure on them, too.
Brother Cam, I want to thank you for spending some time with us. Thank you for
Not
your
a
work.
Problem. Thank you, brother.
Thank you for your work, as always, man. And like I said, the door is always open to you. We'll be in touch.
Thank you, Brother Elliot. And thank you, Brother Richard. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Brother.
We'll talk soon. Right, peace.
Night. Peace.
Brother Richard.
Yes.
Well, Brother Cam say, seize the moment, huh?
Yeah, that's it.
Seize the time. Yeah. Seize the time.
Seize the time. And, you know, which brings back memories, you know, of that moment when it was, we were enunciating that, seize the time. And it's definitely... This again is that time. At the time before when the slogan was presented, it was what did occur was the decolonialization of African nations. So here we are now, where even if people have disagreement of whether here at this moment American Africans are colonized or a colony, and I can understand why that characterization may not be correct. We definitely are under siege. Therefore, we should seize the time from a reparation perspective to repair and rebuild ourselves because there's some stuff going on and we're not included. And that's critical.
We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we'll transition into open forum. You can always be involved in the conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. Time for Awakening. We'll be right back.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
Overworked? Suffering with an underperforming company, headache customer, staff, or vendors? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? We turned a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one transformation created for entrepreneurs like you in various industries around the country. Not what you're used to from accounting and business consulting? Well, welcome to New Business Solutions. If you're ready to go beyond advising, coaching, and training and get implemented results, call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions apply the best comprehensive administrative, accounting, operations, human resources, management, sales, and marketing to help you actualize your vision for yourself and your company. From anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072. Spelled new as in numerous on your device right now. Book your free consultation at newbusinesssolutions.com.
What is in 1 million brothers and sisters who are tired of the same old rhetoric, the same old leaders, the same old ways of dealing with political and economic empowerment? If you realize that nobody's going to save black people but us, if you understand that no existing political party prioritizes the best interests of African Americans as a collective, if you believe that leadership is as leadership does, and this means that the best leaders for the black collective must come from the ranks of those who place and hold the best interests of black people foremost and uttermost, if you understand that black people must develop the mindset and the will to finance their own racial uplift organizational efforts, then get involved with 1 million conscious black voters and contributors. The movement is now. Go to www.iamoneofthemillion.com. That's www.iamoneofthemillion.com.
You know all the work I did before the other man. Mississippi wrong. Mississippi, goddamn, it's our last tune. We had some requests for it. Alabama's got me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest. And everybody knows about Mississippi, goddamn. Alabama's got me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest. Everybody knows about Mississippi, goddamn. Can't you see it? I know you can feel it. It's all in the air. I can't stand the pressure much longer. Somebody say a prayer. Alabama's got me so upset, and Governor Wallace has made me lose my rest. Everybody knows about Mississippi, goddamn. Mississippi,
hound dogs on my trail, school children sitting in jail. Black cat crossed my path, I think every day's gonna be my last. Lord have mercy on the land of mine, we all gonna get it in due time. I don't belong here, I don't belong there, I've even stopped believing in prayer. Don't tell me, I'll tell you, me and my people just about do. I've been there, so I know, they keep on saying, go slow. That's just the trouble.
Too slow.
Washing the windows.
Too slow.
Picking the cotton.
Too slow.
We're just plain rotten.
Too slow.
We're too damn lazy.
Too slow.
I think it's crazy.
Too slow.
Where am I going? What am I doing? I don't know. I don't know. Just try to do my very best. Try to say it's a communist plot. All I want is equality for my sister, my brother, my people, and me. You lied to me all these years. You told me to wash and clean my ears and talk real fine just like a lady, and you'd stop calling me Sister Sadie. My country is full of lies. We are all gonna die and die like flies. I don't trust nobody anymore. They keep on saying go slow. That's just the trouble.
Too
slow. Desegregation.
Too slow.
Mass participation.
Too slow.
Unification.
Too slow.
Do things gradually.
Too slow.
Bring more tragedy.
Too slow.
Why don't you see it? Why don't you feel it? I don't know, I don't know. You don't have to live next to me. Just give me my equality. Everybody knows about Alabama. Everybody knows about Mississippi. Everybody knows about Mississippi. God damn. That's it.
Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. Hearing from Sister Nina Simone, Mississippi, goddamn. Richard.
Yeah.
She put it in words. I'm telling you.
Yes, she did. She did. And you know, when poetry is right, and it really reflects the nature of the time, that's what makes it becomes universal. And that is so apropos today as it was when she constructed it then. You know what I mean?
I know it.
It's something.
You know, a couple of things, but we're transitioning into open forum. And give us a call if you're interested to get involved in the conversation by 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. Brother Richard, we know that this week, Al Green, Representative Al Green of Texas, put forth that resolution that he's been promising for Trump's impeachment. Mm-hmm. He was told by Pelosi and some of the other leaders of their party not to do it. He did it anyway. Let me just read a couple sentences here. The House resolution to impeach Trump fails overwhelmingly. The House has overwhelmingly voted to kill a resolution from Democrat lawmaker to impeach President Donald Trump, Democratic lawmaker Al Green. The vote Wednesday was 364-58. Democrat Al Green, representative of Texas, says Trump has associated his presidency with causes rooted in bigotry and racism. After his resolution was read, Republicans held a vote to table it immediately. Democratic leaders announced beforehand that they were opposed to Green's resolution. So we see that it was bipartisan support in favor of Donald Trump. I don't know. Maybe one of the callers knows the vote by the Black Caucus to support Al Green or to go along with what Nancy Pelosi told them to do. I'd like to see the vote there because I know it's more than 58 members of the Black Caucus.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just curious to know the vote, the tally of the vote. I do know, Brother Richard, that the white representative here in Pennsylvania, Bob Brady, voted with Al Green. And
the stuff he in, he better vote with anybody.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to say. You know, some of these white folks take Black people like they stupid. And some of our people are ignorant to the issues. They might not know what's going on. You're absolutely right. With the heat that's on him, I think two of his main aides was convicted of corruption. So he needs all the support he's going to get. So he'll put his signature on anything where he can get some kind of Black constituent support. And I notice that the rookie congressman, Dwight Evans, now when he went down to Washington, if you recall, he was on terrestrial radio stations here in Philadelphia talking about he can't wait to get to Washington. He's going to try to work with Donald Trump. When the guy got shot down there at the baseball game, he was lobbying for prayers for him. I think he went to the baseball game afterwards. So he was all ready to work with Republicans. At least that's what he was advocating. Now, all of a sudden, he signed his name to the bill to impeach Trump. And I know that he was directed by his party bosses. This doesn't seem like anything he would do on his own. So here they go playing politics with the man trying to put forth. So, you know, we see what's happening.
If I can call out the, if I got this, oh man, oh, I thought I had the names to the congressional leaders that
voted with him.
Not all CBC members joined in. Representative Hakeem Jeffries. Now, I don't know why I pulled Hakeem's name out, but hearing Brother Cam then.
Well, he voted in support of Trump.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not all CBC members joined in. Representative Hakeem Jeffries, who helped lead House Democrat messaging, voted to table the impeachment resolution. So he was one who voted to table it. But the ones who did vote was Representative Alma Adams from North Carolina, Karen Bass from California, Joyce Beatty from Ohio, Yvette Clark from New York, Lacey Clay from Minnesota, Danny Davis from Illinois, Dwight Evans, Pennsylvania, as you said, Fudge Elise Hastings from Florida, Sheila Jackson Lee from Texas, Robin Kelly from Illinois, Brenda Lawrence from Michigan, Barbara Lee from California, John Lewis from Georgia. Now, see, Elliot, you got to give your boy John his props, right? Gwen Moore from Wisconsin.
Broken clock is right twice a day. Go ahead.
Bobby Rush from Illinois, Benny Thompson from Mississippi, Waters and Bonnie Watson Coleman from New Jersey, and made up the remaining CBC members who voted. Wait a minute. Waters and Bobby Watson Coleman made up the remaining CBC members who voted against tabling Green's resolution. So those were the ones who voted for the resolution. And multiple Democrats who served in the ranking, but this I was looking for the CBC members, and the only one they mentioned is Hakeem. But as you said, there's obviously
a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And this is from the Hills Report article. The Hills article on the December 6th. But yeah, it says a lot of things, Elliot, you know, because everybody talk bad about the president. And I think for structural purposes, we need to say that. But they'll even have a madman run to maintain structure. Because even with Clinton, they didn't, you know, it was impeachment proceedings. They didn't go against him. I believe it's not about the person. It was about the structure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the structure of America is saying that it will maintain itself even if it has these, if the persons do things that would every other people in the country, citizens, would say that they couldn't get away with it. And is that the power of the person? Or is that the power of the structure, which raises the question? And I wanted to throw this in there, Elliot, because I keep grappling with this. And it comes out of what 1 million Black conscious and conscientious voters said. One time we were talking about we should deal with the glass, whether it's half empty or half full. And Brother Baba Klayman and Baba Amafika said the issue was not about dealing with the glass half empty or half full, but putting down a new glass. And that's, to me, I can't see for us as Black people why we're trying to reform something by its very nature. It's not to give you anything, give you self-identity, self-worth, you know, position in it. But it seems that we're always trying to solve a problem that's unsolvable compared to solving our own problem, which we can solve.
Now, what are you talking about? The problem is what?
The problem is that we have to be able to defend and protect and produce for ourselves in spite of the nation state called America.
No. I understand that part. But when you said solve a problem that can't be solved,
that America is going to always have Africans as not having given the equal right or access or opportunity in its system.
Well, you know what? And I'm glad that you mentioned that, Richard, because, you know, when we had the sister Ife on Friday, and she talked about the women's conference, and she has classes going on every weekend, critical thinking classes for the young Black women. I think she said for everybody.
But Sunday they do what they did, but the conference was for women's.
No. I'm talking about the classes.
Yeah, the classes for
critical
everybody.
Thinking. See,
right.
You know, if we look at our situation critically, and that's the importance of having think tanks in all of these areas where we live, whether it's urban or rural, if we have think tanks to discuss our situation, to critically look at and analyze what we're dealing with and come up with solutions, be it mock solutions or solutions that's already out there to join in. You know, if we look at our situation, we can see clearly that this man has no intention of treating our people fairly. Seems like every time a situation comes up, our people they want to have sensitivity classes. This guy needs to be trained to understand Black issues. Listen, white folks don't care about you. They created the issues.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to do anything any different about these things. Some of our people have been banging their head against a brick wall for a number of years now, almost since we got out of chattel enslavement.
Mm-hmm.
At least some of our people, our ancestors that was involved in that horrible institution of slavery knew exactly what they were dealing with. We read that article last week that came out of the congressional record of the meeting that government leaders had with our ancestors back in 1865. And they told them then that we want our own space separate from you. They didn't say, well, we think we can live together. They knew then that our people couldn't live with them. They knew it.
Mm.
They wanted their own space. But something happened between now and then with some of our people, and I think it's been corrupt leadership that pushed people in the direction thinking they could turn Europeans' mindsets, and all they do is think of a new way to stick it to you.
And you know, Elliot, if I may, and I want to pick up on that point from the what you said about what those ancestors said at that point, right? Because I picked up another article where a person I didn't know, a William in 1893, William Frank Farnerville, an African-American student at Livingston College in Salisbury, North Carolina, left on a summer road trip through the South. He was the editor of his college newspaper and promised to report back to his college classmates on racial progress and oppression. His trip came at a critical moment. Feuerville believed that Black Americans were on the rise. Now, this is right after they said we need to be separate to ourselves and we'll take care of ourselves, right? So he's going, this young student going to go around and going to report on it, right? And this is 1893, and become well-educated, exercising the vote, and becoming economically self-sufficient. And he wasn't mistaken in those beliefs. And this is what got me about how we were able to come up in that time period that you're speaking of compared to now. Flyville's generation of Black men and women had poured into the South News Black educational institutions. Many of them, Livingston, co-education, the first generation of African, now listen to that, first generation of African-American born and freedom embraced education as a civil rights strategy. Since slave states had passed laws making it a crime to teach enslaved Black people to read and write, many saw education as the way to full citizenship, economic success, and community standing. Black literacy rate, this is the part that got me, Black literacy rate rose rapidly at an estimate 5 to 10% under slavery to 50% in 1910. Now, that's the second generation out of slavery, and they were able to, with the motivation of freedom and utilizing the Black the institutions of education, and a lot of those primary school education systems were very small. They were shacks. And look at the growth of literacy then, and then listen to what they're telling us of what the literacy rate is now. And I'm only saying that to the point that you made as far as when we say if we're going to take this empty glass and fill it with our own wealth, motivation, inspiration, spiritual yearning, economic development, self-development in a cooperative manner, what is it that we could achieve compared to looking for somebody to help us? Because, as you said, something translated somewhere around the 40s where the integration notion became the primary notion of development.
Well, and it's clear from what you're stating that Europeans know that if they had a so-called free society where everybody was treated fairly and you achieve what you will, that it wouldn't take many generations before Blacks would surpass whites. They know right. That. That's why they have a system of white supremacy, white privilege, where that don't take place. And only a couple of choice few trickles through now and then to give the illusion of some type of inclusion. Let's go to the callers. 267.
Hey, Elliot. Hey, Rich. How you doing tonight?
How are you, sir?
I just wanted to call you to some of the names I didn't see out of the 58. They're not showing too many of them. But isn't Eleanor's home Norton? Isn't she a CBC member?
Yeah.
Yes.
Her name wasn't with the 58. John Lewis, is he a CBC member?
Mm-hmm.
His name wasn't with the 58.
Oh, it was.
He was on there.
It was with the 58?
Yeah,
he was on there. I don't remember seeing his name. But I know they said these people, Hakeem Jeffries, the guy Keith Ellison. There were about, we know James Clyburn. We know what kind of person he was. There's another guy, Scott.
Cedric Richmond?
Right. Cedric Richmond. There were a few names they said definitely didn't want to impeach Trump. But, you know, my problem with this whole thing, man, and you said we're trying to deal with changing the mindset of our people. We got to stop being so pro-democratic. I mean, like, you know, I even see some of the members from One in a Million, just threw a fit when Hillary didn't lead and when she didn't win. And I'm saying, like, it don't make any difference. These are wings of the same bird. We waste too much time on politics. And, you know, these people are all frauds. Like you were saying earlier, Elliot, these people think that they don't think they're going to change the mind of white people. They know for a fact those white people are their bosses and they're going to do anything they have to do. Just like we discussed earlier. The only reason why that guy, Dwight Evans, voted with Representative Green is because his boss, Bob Brady, did the same thing. If it wasn't for that, he'd be voting the same way too, man. These people are a disgrace, and it's time for our people to wake up and stop looking at these fools as leaders. It makes me sick to my stomach. That way we can get the glass half full or whatever. When we start looking at these things like they really are, these people are a disgrace. And I don't care if they voted with Al Green's bill or not. I think what Representative Green did was try to show you what kind of representatives we're voting in the office. You know, what kind of people are in this Democratic Party. And I'm glad he did it, because that shows you when we hear these fools and these clowns on here crying about Trump, and we hear these same talk show hosts or whatever talk about, let's just pull the voter. I heard Dwight Evans on a radio station talking about, let's just pull the straight Democratic lever. We got to make changes. Come on, man. Come on. So, you know, these things frustrate me. I'm waiting for the glass to get half full, because our people are fools. And they don't have any knowledge. What do you say? Our people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Man, come on. It ain't even that they have a lack of knowledge. I think they're too scared to see things, what really is in front of them. So they want to make up some kind of little fairy tale nonsense just to cope with it. You know, and that's all it is, man. Call it what it is. We don't have no representatives. You know, and we learned this in school. I'm going to say this, and I'm just going to, you know, hang up and finish listening to the show. But we learned this in elementary school. They said the reason why they had to revolt, which is a lie anyway, is because they had taxation without representation. Me, you, and Richard, we get taxed, don't we? Don't we?
Yeah.
Who represents us and our interests? No, I'm asking an honest question.
We don't have any.
Us? We don't have nothing.
We don't have
nothing, but we get taxed out of our minds.
But let me throw this in there, Ralph. If you notice, they put out a party line, especially with some of these surrogates of the Democratic Party. When you start complaining about, they don't represent us, then the first thing, what did you ask for? You don't ask them. You know, come on here with that excuse about you don't ask them. These people are not stupid. They know the situation our people are in. If you or Richard or anybody else ran for a political seat and won, does somebody have to tell you what the issues is that affect your community or what you need? Nope. I mean, come on here with that dope crap, that watered down excuse. On Tuesday.
Elliot, you heard when that question was asked to me. So that automatically makes my eye go on you. When you ask me such foolishness, like, well, you don't ask for nothing. You know, that's that same Obama watered down nonsense that they're taught to act, you know, just to make it look like our people don't have any damn sense. They know, if, you know, they always tell us politics is local. You know, I used to hear some of our, I'm not going to mention no names, but I was like listening to them when they say, we got to come up with an organization where we can get funding so we can start, you know, buying our politicians. Man, they arrest the politicians and you too. You know what I mean? That's such foolishness. We don't have any part in politics, you know? And when I hear people talk foolishness, like, look, the woman, one, a couple of the, what, it was a judge, she took a bracelet from a, somebody and they arrested her. You know what I mean? So that you don't buy them. They already own the plantation they belong to. You know what I mean? They're there to do a job on us. We got to, like you said, it's time for us to have a new mindset. But the thing that frustrates me, we're still stuck. Well, you know, not really. A lot of us are starting to wake up and see this foolishness. And then we got these same stupid hosts get on there. Oh, it's low voter turnout. That's why we got a Trump in there. Come on, man. You know, I just get sick of that nonsense. That's why, I've been listening to a lot of music in my iTunes library. My music from the 60s and 70s, man. I can't take too much more of this madness. Only time I do call in is when I want to ask a question. And nobody even knows. If you're a host or whatever, get somebody on there that know how these people voted and expose them. Expose them. You know what I mean? But, you know, it just seems like... you know, it's the same old foolishness, man.
Now before you
people go ahead.
Before you leave, the I think that election is Tuesday. The guy Roy Moore, the pedophile, and the other guy who he's running against. Now, here again, they're looking at the black vote. This other guy that he's running against, just like you said, two wings of the same bird.
Yeah,
he's running to the black community, talking about, "Well, I'm your friend." This guy. He's a Klansman. They released some statement where he said that slavery wasn't that bad. Now, they send Democratic surrogates, Cory Booker, and all of these people to run down there to tell black people to vote for this other guy. I don't even know the guy's name. I do know that guy Moore's name, the pedophile, because his name's been all splashed all over the news. But here we go again with the same thing. Now, you'll get some blacks. They'll probably have a low turnout. But you'll get some blacks to go along with it because Cory Booker and other prominent Democrats ran down there and told him to support this other guy because he prosecuted prosecuted the white animals that bombed that church.
Right.
40 years later after they was all old men. So what is that supposed to be, a feather in his cap?
Man, did you hear the other question that was asked to me? What did I think about the civil rights movement and how same thing, man. They put some leaders in front of us that are bought and paid for, and they tell us to go on ahead and follow. No, we just follow them like fools, you know. And we gotta these people that they put on TV and the radio and all this stuff, we gotta stop going for the okie doke. They're on there for a reason. These people are behind closed doors laughing at us, man.
Yeah, well, you see,
we think there is such freedom in the Democratic Party. You gotta be kidding me.
You see, they released those sealed documents of Bayard Rustin. It said that, and the guy made a joke of it that wrote the article. He said, Bayard Rustin was being investigated by the FBI, but evidently the FBI didn't know that he was already working for the CIA. So he was a CIA operative. They had him doing, and they mentioned the things he was doing from redacted statements. I don't know why they redacted them now, because they had admitted the man worked for them. But they kind of insinuated that they claimed that they had evidence that he was homosexual. In fact, they released some police reports that he was walking the streets in the late 59 or whatever, soliciting a police officer, whoever he could. I mean, that wasn't no revelation that he was gay. But He was working for the CIA. They admitted it years later.
Elliot, if somebody's busting your family in the head with baseball bats and sicking dogs on your family, and you got some black man that don't have any morals come up to you and say, you know, let's just be nonviolent. Let them, sooner or later, they're going to change. You know that man's your enemy. You know he's paid by some, you know, you're getting hot food thrown in your face in Woolworths, dogs sicked on women and children. We're going to be nonviolent. You know, when he saw the firearms in Martin Luther King's house, he told him, oh, no, we can't do that. Martin Luther King should have been smart enough right then and there to know that this man's the enemy. So, you know, now that don't surprise me about Bayard Rustin. I know whoever created that so-called civil rights movement was an enemy of our people. So, you know, I mean, that whole civil rights, and them civil rights leaders of the day, they're the same thing. They're getting paid.
Are you mislead
our people.
Are you referring to America's number one civil rights leader?
Yeah, well, I guess that's what he is. I don't know who he leads. You know, it's a shame.
Well, I don't want you to talk about him because one of our favorite callers, that's his main man.
Caller from New York. He's up there. He's up there every Saturday at the House of Justice.
Man, y'all need to stop.
All right. Well, look, I'm gonna hang up and I'm gonna listen, man.
Peace.
I just need to find out who these people. But I think Eleanor's home, Norton. She decided not. She didn't want to vote for Green's bill. She didn't want to see Master Trump impeached. So.
You know what? And it's kind of ironic that list that was read, Richard read. The majority of the women, the majority of them were sisters on it. It was women on it.
That's what I was saying. I was saying it to myself when I was reading it. And what Brother Cam was saying about his short list.
Yeah. Boy, I'm telling you. The dynamic is changing for a reason, Richard and Ralph. It's something going on here, and we got to wake up, smell the coffee.
Yep. All right, fellas, I'm gonna hang up, and I'm gonna continue listening.
Peace.
Have a good evening. All right. Peace.
We got some more callers waiting. What we gonna do? We're gonna take a brief break, and when we come back, we'll go straight back to the callers to get them involved, and you can get involved too because somebody just hung up by dialing 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832, time for awakening. We're in open form. We'll be right back.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency and business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
Overworked? Suffering with an underperforming company, headache customer, staff, or vendors? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? We turned a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one transformation created for entrepreneurs like you in various industries around the country. Not what you're used to from accounting and business consulting? Well, welcome to New Business Solutions. If you're ready to go beyond advising, coaching, and training and get implemented results, call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions apply the best comprehensive administrative, accounting, operations, human resources, management, sales, and marketing to help you actualize your vision for yourself and your company. From anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072. Spelled new as in numerous on your device right now. Book your free consultation at newbusinesssolutions.com.
from antiquity to the present, our people need to develop a new paradigm. It's time for an awakening with your host, Brother Elliot. Sundays, 7 p.m., Fridays at 8 p.m. for podcasting or live program scheduling. Hit us up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. And we transitioned to open forum after our guest left, activist, organizer, and legislative chair of NCOBRA. Brother Cam Howard was with us earlier. And you can catch some of the things that Brother Cam Howard informed us on by checking out the podcast at timeforanawakening.com. That's timeforanawakening.com. Should be one of your favorites. If not, put that in your address bar. You can check out the podcast. And like I said, the site is being changed around and revamped to incorporate all the other programs on Time for Awakening in the podcast. So you already see the podcast of Revive with Sister POC and Time for Awakening. But you'll also see African Perspectives, Us Lifting Us, and some of the other programs, and then other programs that's going to be added in the future in January. So those other things will be added, and you can check it out on timeforanawakening.com. Brother Richard.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just figured I'd play that. You know, Stevie is a poet. And, you know, he mentioned that. That's dedicated to the folks we're talking about this evening when he said, you know, if you really want to hear my view, you haven't done nothing. So I figured I'd throw that in there. I think it was kind of apropos.
There you go.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to 414.
Well, good afternoon, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard.
Yeah, how you doing now?
How are you, sir?
Yeah, good. You know, once again, excellent program. I really enjoy listening to the your program. What the discussion should have been, it should never been about our civil rights. It should have been about our human rights.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So those are the things that we have to start putting emphasis on. Your human rights. You have a human right to be here. And we need to understand that they sell us this notion that this is a country of laws. But when you start to understand how it's structured, laws is nothing but an acronym for legally allowing white supremacy.
I like that.
That's the bottom line to it. And we have to start getting beyond our fears, because fear is just nothing but an acronym as well. It's false evidence appearing to be real. We have to start taking charge of our own destiny, because nobody's going to do it but us. We didn't put ourselves here, but it's our responsibility to get us out of here.
Okay.
And I just want to be able to contribute to the program. You just keep doing what you do, because I know that the work that we have to do has to be consistent. And I just want to be a part of that consistency and getting our people to understand that this system is designed for them. And laws is just what it is. Legally allowing white supremacy. That's it. So once again, I'll do like Brother Ralph. I'll sit back and listen. I always enjoy you guys' program.
Thank you for your
call. That's
my
contribution.
All right. Thank you for your call.
And if I could just add one thing quickly, Elliot, with the caller saying, because and it juxtaposes what Ralph has said, because when we start to, the short phrase, right, do for self, politics is involved. Self-governing is involved. It's when you're trying to rely on another person's system, then that's when the confusion comes in. But if we were doing politics for ourselves, and we were making decisions about how do we manage our resources for ourselves, and we were creating laws that govern ourselves, then I don't think that we would have any inconsistency in expecting something from somebody other than ourselves. And I think that that's you know, what we have to stay focused, because then the issue of human rights would be we would only be servicing our humanity and not thinking that that's selfish, because if what our humanity needs, it's universal. But we ain't going to do it for somebody else before we do it for ourselves. That would make no sense.
Let's go to BTR. BTR.
Hey, what's going on? Can you hear me, fellas?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yeah, let me add another perspective to this. On the human rights tip, I appreciate the work of the Human Rights Network. I forget the name of it. It might be the United States Human Rights Network. But like a couple of the brothers that's on the network, they've been involved in human rights, like the ones that do race treaty on Friday nights on Black Talk Radio Network. Brother Onaje do a lot of traveling. We got Sister Fia Wangaza down there in Greenville, South Carolina, who's been going to the UN, pressing for the human rights of the political prisoners. Shout out to her down there on WMXP. She also run the Malcolm X Grassroots Center down there. But the reality of it is that people have, since Malcolm X made that suggestion about human rights, which is a good suggestion, you had to press your enemy on all avenues, like he said, by any means necessary. But see, the problem with the going to the UN is that the UN is run by white supremacists, okay? And so we see what they do. Y'all had the sister on a couple of weeks ago from Haiti, who was telling you what the UN was doing down there. The UN, I just commented on how useless they are. They about as useless as the African Union. When you're talking about providing the people security in Africa, you just had a bunch of UN troops get shot up in the Congo, okay? And so the UN, it has a mixed record, okay? But so human rights, yes, we do have a lot of people who is working that avenue, but guess what? It ain't brought no relief. Matter of fact, the UN, they did a tour. When was that? A year ago? They hit several different cities in the United States taking testimony, different groups, you know, local organizers gave testimony. It was in Baltimore. They went to Jacksonville. They may have went to Detroit. But it was like several cities where you had these black organizations going in and talking about all the terrorism and the stuff that we talk about daily on black radio. Okay, but the problem is the United States pretty much controls the UN. They pay more for the UN budget than any other country, and they will bring that up quite often. They have a permanent seat and a veto power on the Security Council, yes, and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And so it's all well and fine to say human rights, but let's be realistic about our results in that area. Again, these people are doing worthwhile work because, if anything, it's being put on record. Okay, it's all being documented, these crimes against humanity, against us and other people here in this country. But that's the reality of it. United States do always, whenever they sign a human rights treaty, they put what's called a signing statement, where they're saying, you know, saying that, yeah, we signing it, but we have reservations about this, that, and the other. And then it's never implemented by the U.S. Congress. I mean, we talk about doing for self and all of that, and we should do as much as we can. That goes without saying, for self and building up the infrastructure, but let's not be confused about who's in power, okay? And it's pretty hard to do for self when you also paying for their government.
Isn't that the issue, though? And I agree with you, Scotty. But in principle, and I hear us say that, but it gets to a serious thin line, and you codify it for me very clearly, because the question is, at what point, and whoever, how big that we is, when we're going to say, I'm not paying, I'm not acknowledging, and what I am going to do is, with the little I have, whatever that is, have some principle, and the principle could be based off of human rights, but you go, we get that. But we're going to build that infrastructure that supports ourselves. And yeah, under the condition, win, lose, or draw. Because that's where the finishing line comes from me when come and make that analysis, the win, lose, or draw. Because if you don't do that, then you're, as you're saying, then you're paying somebody else.
But they're going to put you in prison if you don't pay, though.
No, they'll kill you. Now, I mean, if you actually say that you're going to de-link, they'll kill you. I mean, when they put you in prison.
I'm just under no illusion that, you know, that if, for example, my family members where we at, we decide one year to say, you know what? We don't use this service, that service, or that county service. We don't call the police. We don't use none of your services. We's totally self-sufficient. So if we decide, hey, we're not paying our property taxes, and then it become 2 years. Then it become 3 years we ain't paid our property taxes. What you think going to happen to our property? And we'll come up here with armed goons and thugs, and they're going to take our property. And we might be able to hold out a week or two, or, you know, we've seen those armed standoffs. But at the end of the day, ain't nobody coming in to back us up because we don't have no army, no national army, no national militia. So let's just be real about it. Now I'm recalling this old elderly couple here in North Carolina where they came and took their farm, okay, just took it. And so this is happening every day, so we need to be real about these things. The only way that I see self-governance is the example being set by the chokeways down there in Jackson, Mississippi, where we had to organize politically to where we control the apparatus that control our local politics, economy, education. That's the mayor, that's the city council, that's the county boards. We don't talk about the county boards and what have you, all these positions. So, you know, that to me, that's the only feasible self-governance that you can do in this country non-violently. And people can talk about violence and why do we don't do this and do that. You know, you're going to get, you know, try it and see what happens, because we ain't got no army. But on the last thing I want to say to y'all, or remind people, because I hear a lot of people, and this is historically, and it's just been repeated and repeated, but we like to play down what Dr. King and them brothers and sisters, the laws they got passed under one of the only vehicles they had, you know, and to get those civil rights, that, for example, that civil rights, 64 civil rights bill passed, that civil rights law. Now, that don't just apply to black people. That applies to you can't discriminate against people on national origin. Now enforcement of it is another thing, but the law is there. We know that they pick and choose their spots when they're going to enforce something and not going to enforce something. But listen, why is Michael Slager, that killer cop, slave catcher down there in North Charleston, why is he in prison today? Because he was acquitted of all the murder charges or manslaughter charges, whatever he was charged with. How did he end up with 20 years in prison? That's the question.
Yeah. Well, I think the 20 years. The federal charges, yeah. Mm-hmm.
On what? On violating Walter Scott's what?
Yeah, civil rights. Yeah, civil rights, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if it was not for Dr. King and all those, no matter how minuscule, we know it ain't solved the problem. Of course it didn't. We got to try everything that we can to bring relief and get justice any way we can. And if not for him being convicted on that law that Dr. King and them got passed, that Slager would be walking around free somewhere, just like George Zimmerman, just like Darren Wilson, who killed Michael Brown, and remember they gave them terrorists gave him $1 million from a GoFundMe. He retired going fishing and golfing and whatever. So, you know, that dude Slager is only in prison because of that civil rights law. And I'll close it out with that. I just want to be bring an objective perspective. That's just my analysis of what we're facing. And I just appreciate the efforts of everyone who's sincerely trying to address, whether this is on the, under international law, that's where human rights come in, all the people going to the UN and what have you and pushing in that area, or the people out there that's coming up with creative ways to bail people out of jail, keep them, you know, because it's a system of slavery.
Yeah.
So I just appreciate everybody's efforts, including the black media. Time for Awakening, all the other shows where we talk about this. Y'all see they just asked Roland Martin, and even though he was an establishment journalist, and y'all saw what him dancing that jig with Hillary Clinton and whatnot, but at least he would tell us some national stories, you know, that was important.
Yeah.
And showing how these people practicing environmental racism and in the courts. And he would bring it strong, and he very smart, and he know history. And so it's on black media. That's doing for self. And that's why I'm so proud of you, Elliot, and how your network is going and how we doing for self in the area of media and able to have these real conversations. Because this conversation ain't going to be had on Ricky Smiley's show or Time Joiner's show and all of that. So just keep up the good work.
Thank you, brother.
All right, peace.
You know, before we go to the next call, somebody in the chat room, one of the frequent callers and listeners to the chat room, put a note in there. And I was going to mention it on the program because I had put it up on the Time for Awakening Facebook page. Some representatives from the UN went down to Lowndes County, Alabama. You know, that's a famous county, Richard.
Right.
And made comments that they never seen such conditions in the first world. Now, I punched it up, and then it's videos on YouTube. Now, I think one of the callers mentioned a couple of weeks ago that Europeans always do stuff symbolically. And in fact, I think it was when Sister Danta was on that certain things was done symbolically on certain dates because it was things that we accomplished as a people. Now, Lowndes County is a historic county because of the activism that was done down there and the party that was created down there with the Stokely Carmichael at the time and Charles Cobb and them, all of them were down there.
Mm-hmm.
The sewage, the raw sewage that's pouring into that county, if that's not environmental racism, I don't know what is. They had other people on there because the people were saying that this stuff comes in, that the children can't go outside, they can't play in their own yards because the raw sewage just pours right in to this lagoon that pours all over Lowndes County. Now, the state of Alabama is saying it's up to the residents to correct their own sewage problem, but it's not their sewage problem. It's the county, different neighboring counties that, where the sewage is pouring in. So the UN was called down there. They seen the conditions and said they haven't seen such conditions in the first world. If people get a chance, look on the Time for Awakening Facebook page and read that article about the conditions. In fact, it's on timeforawakening.com about the conditions that our folks are living in down there in that region of Alabama. And you know they're doing that for a symbolic reason. Let's go to 646.
Yeah, what's happening, Funny Man and Funny Man 2?
Now wait a minute. What is it, Funny Man? What is all these?
Yeah, what? Y'all was talking about Perm Daddy, and y'all wanted to.
It's another caller that calls out of New York.
But y'all was trying to get me caught up in that one about Perm Daddy. And you know what the funny thing is?
Say Perm Daddy.
I live like a half a mile from that Joker, man. All I have to do is walk out my door, walk up the block, make a right, jump on the bus, and I'm like, 10-20 feet away from his place, man, and I ain't been there in years. My mother used to go. I don't know if she still go there to listen to that nonsense. But, you know, it's nothing basically there but old Negroes that come there, you know, that been going there for years, man. Same people. I don't think there's that many young people that go there. Mm. And, you know, I can say this about him. He do get the politicians to come there on Martin Luther King Day. Who's ever the governor or the mayor at that time, they will be there on Martin Luther King Day.
Oh, well, they listen. They do that all over. Yeah, listen, they do it here.
Man, they don't do it. They don't do it. They don't do it like he do it, B. No. You gotta give Perm Daddy that little bit of credit. Now, what I really, really had me cracking up about was when you had the brother on from Encoba, and he was talking about another one of these master Negro peens, Hamron Jeffries, or whatever you want to call him.
Well, wait a minute. You know his name, Jay.
I forget his name. I'm not pronouncing it right.
Hakeem
Jeffries. I got to think about the television show Mauricio when I think about that Negro, because he's basically a comedy show himself. But, you know, this is the thing that annoys me about that Negro. And I told it to him in his face. I said, it's really, really sad that your uncle is supposed to be Sir Elder Muckety Muckster of the so-called Pan-African Black Revolutionary El Super Negro.
Is that Jeffries is his uncle?
Yeah, that's his uncle.
I didn't know that. I wasn't sure.
Okay. No, that's his nephew.
His uncle.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I done known the Negro for years. And I'm like, you done been around your uncle. I know your uncle has schooled you. You know what I mean? I done seen you when you was a young man. Back in the day, every now and then come the first world. You know, we talking about close to 30 years ago. And for you to be the type of Negro that you are and the capitulator that you are towards the daddy, you know, you really a disgrace.
Mm.
And he has the nerve to tell me, well, you know, I'm trying to do what I can for the people. I said, you're a liar. You're a liar because you're not doing nothing for the people. You're trying to place yourself in a better position. And every chance you get to speak against black people, to make white folks look at you in a certain light as not being a threat that they see your uncle as, your black ass step up to the plate and do it, a.k.a. what he just did with Kanye. You know what I'm saying? But see, nobody says anything to him about it because of who his uncle is. So, you know, he's like, in a sense, a Negro that can't be checked. But every time I see him, I check his black behind. You know what I'm saying? I let him know. You're a fraud. You're a fake. You're a phony. You're a disgrace. You know what I mean? Because you're supposed to know better than most. You're supposed to stand up and challenge him. You know what I'm saying? You know, but that's not his thing, I guess. You know what I mean? He feels as though he's got to work within the system to make things better. And look, man, the system is not geared towards making things better for black folks. I'm just waiting for the day that we finally figure and realize that, because I'm convinced that this Alabama thing, if it doesn't show you where white folks and what white folks are really about, then you ain't never going to figure it out. Now, you know, the thing that most people not realizing is white folks want to make an excuse for this nonsense. They don't want to call other white folks out for their behavior. And that's what I take issue with. You see what I'm saying? So basically their whole thing is, you know, this is an anomaly.
this is something that just doesn't really happen on the regular. Nah, cut the nonsense out. You wouldn't have the cracker in the White House now if it wasn't the case. You know what I'm saying? So whereby you're now placing it in a situation where you think that you're going to have other white people come at the defense of morality. When you ever know a cracker to come at the defense of morality when it puts them in a weaker position?
Mm.
Have you ever? Can you give me?
No.
So now here it is. Let's say more loses, more wins, because I don't think he's going to lose. More wins. He comes to the Senate. You're going to tell me that the senators are going to vote to not let him sit at the table? Now, the possibility is, which I predict, that they will. And when they do, then the governor is going to go and put another cracker at the seat. Or if they let him get the seat, then they're trying to make it seem as though in 2020, then he's not going to be able to keep the seat. But the bottom line is, if you look at Alabama in the history of Alabama, just like Sessions was able to hold onto his seat as a known racist, what you makes one think that this Peckerwood ain't going to be able to hold onto his seat for another 20 years? You know what I mean? What's going to change it? But nobody will talk about the blatant racist and the backwardness of the Alabama cracker. You know what I'm saying? Nobody won't call them out, but what they will do is, if things don't go according, they're going to try and figure out a way of saying that it was black folks' fault because they didn't come out in numbers and vote for a cracker.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, you're in a situation to where, as how do you win? Because you're gonna be oppressed any way it goes. But we don't confront these people about this. We don't hold our foot to the fire in regards to making them have to be accountable for their BS. Why must I be accountable for your racism and your wicked tweet? How is that my problem? That's not my problem. I'm not doing it. I'm not the pedophile. You know what I'm saying? I'm not out here saying and doing the thing that he's doing that's affecting the so-called society. I mean, how you gonna blame black folks when it was white women who went out there and voted for these individuals? Mm-hmm. Now you got a situation to whereas you're being placed in the quagmire to whereas the feminists about to start raping y'all. Because that's all they're doing. You know, I was looking at a program, and this is the thing that I knew what the game was being played. The woman was on TV saying, well, Franken is gone, and now we're going to have a strong woman replace him. Now, how do you jump from having Franken removed and self-appointing a woman? Why is it a woman that has to be the one that takes over that seat? Why can't you just say we need a strong Democrat to take over the seat and then let the cards play out what it may? Why must the word woman be used in the equation?
Now, when I said that this was a power play because those women lost two times the presidential election and got beat up real bad, that this was the only way they felt they can come back. Some people were saying, no, that's not true.
See, but you don't know feminists. you don't know the white woman and you don't know the feminist. The white woman is looking for power. The white woman is looking for a position to be heard. What is the black woman looking for? Not a damn thing.
Oh, no, I ain't saying that.
Not a damn thing.
I ain't saying that, Jay. I'll say it.
Because the bottom line is, where are they at in the equation?
Well, that
where
that,
their voice at?
But isn't that a reflection, though? And this is the critical question, though. Aren't all of these people a reflection of the community of people, the mindset of the community in general? Because what could you expect? I mean, they got to go up against white women, black women, black men, the ones who are good, clear, honest. They got to go up against the most vicious people on the planet, young and old. And that's what we're watching. I mean, the Trumps and whatever, we ain't even seeing those vicious women that's behind these guys.
No. Let's start here. Who is supposed to be the strongest voice in America for women? Who that's supposed to be?
I don't know. Who is it?
Oprah?
Oh no.
Stop. Think about it. You name me some woman that's not a so-called politician that white women listen to more than Mammy Oprah. Name me one woman.
What you said, white women, right?
Let's put it in the context.
Right, I understand,
I'm talking about white women and black women, because black women, they follow behind what trend white women set.
Well, then
the majority, I'm not talking about African women. See, there's a different equation. It's right. That Negro peen, and then there's African women. See, African women, they got to follow behind that nonsense.
And if you heard earlier, those African women that were at the reparations conference in New Orleans and put out that statement, that would be the African women, but they don't have the power
So they do their thing on their level. We respect them, we appreciate them, we back them. But what I'm saying to you is, refute what I just said. You can't refute what I just said.
No, I agree. But Oprah was not catering to black women. She was catering to white women.
It's not the issue. That's my point. Okay. That's my point right there. The thing is this. We are in a situation right now to whereas you got a sexual demon in the cracker house. That's the head. So he's one we'll refer to as the overseer. You got women who are opposed to one another in regards to feminism, strong feminism, weak feminism, white women who follow behind white men's rule and all of that, just white women, period. Now you have a situation to where as the feminists are going after power.
Right.
How are they going after power and who are they attacking? They attacking men who they deem to be somewhat weak. And where did they start with? And what? The halls of power, not against the head, pervert, but against the perverts that they knew they could attack because of what they're dealing with. The Democrats. The Democrats are nothing but weak capitulators. The Republican Party, if you notice, ain't giving up their folks in that manner that the Democrats are, because of what reason? They trying to hold on to what? Power. The Democrats are trying to make it seem like they're moral. A cracker ain't never moral. You know what I mean? So it's a game being played. And in the process, The women are going to sneak in here, and they're going to get into dominant positions, and then it's going to be a gender war in this country that you've never seen before. And what it's going to revert to is physical violence. Now, nobody wants to accept that, but that's the way it's going to lead, because men are dominant, and when men get themselves backed up against the wall by women, they revert to one thing, violence. And that's what's going to happen. What? It may not happen today. It may not happen tomorrow. But I guarantee you, if this continues to go the way that it goes, and women get into key positions and start doing things against white men that they perceive to not be in their interest, they're going to respond violently towards them. And that's going to cause issues that nobody want to address and nobody want to deal with. And then what usually happens, it trickles down into our community. And that's the sickness of this society, because we as a people always want to follow behind the cracker and behave like the cracker and get the cracker's crumbs.
Yeah,
get
thank
the
you.
Cracker's crumbs.
Thank you for your call, man.
Hey, brother, all I can say is this. When you work this week, Richard, know that Friday is coming and that the holidays is maybe 2 weeks away and things will slow down. And the new year is coming, and maybe you'll be able to retire away from the cracker next year, and it'll all be good. But, Richard, remember this. The daddy ain't got no love for you whatsoever, but the black people of Time for Awakening love you. Talk to you later, fellas.
At least he gave me some solace, right? I'm loved somewhere.
Oh, boy. How you situated, Rich? We got about 15 minutes. That's cool?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, we'll take a brief break, and when we come back, we got two more callers we want to finish up with. We'll be right back.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services if when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
Overworked?
suffering with an underperforming company, headache customer, staff, or vendors? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? We turned a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one transformation created for entrepreneurs like you in various industries around the country. Not what you're used to from accounting and business consulting? Well, welcome to New Business Solutions. If you're ready to go beyond advising, coaching, and training and get implemented results, call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions apply the best comprehensive administrative, accounting, operations, human resources, management, sales, and marketing to help you actualize your vision for yourself and your company. From anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072, spelled new as in numerous, on your device right now. Book your free consultation at newbusinesssolutions.com.
New age is upon us, and yet the past refuses to rest in its shallow grave. For those who hide behind the false image of the Son of Man shall stand before God, God, God.
Voice of racism preaching the gospel is devilish. A fake church called the prophet Muhammad a terrorist. Forgetting God is not religion, but a spiritual bond. And Jesus is the most quoted prophet in the Quran. They bombed innocent people trying to murder Saddam. When you gave them those chemical weapons to go to war with Iran. This is the information that they hold back from Peter Jennings. Cause Condoleezza Rice is just a new age Sally Hemings. I break it down with critical language and spiritual anguish. The Judas I hang with. The guilt of betraying Christ, who murdered him, stole his religion, and painted him white. Translated in psychologically tainted philosophy, conservative political right-wing ideology. Glued together sloppily, the blasphemy of a nation. Got my back to the wall, cause I'm facing assassination. Guantanamo Bay, federal incarceration. How could this be? The land of the free, home of the brave, indigenous Holocaust, and the home of the slaves. Corporate America, dancing offbeat to the rhythm. You really think this country never sparks a terrorism? Human rights violations, we continue the saga. El Salvador and the Contras and Nicaragua. And on top of that, you still want to take me to prison. Just cause I won't trade humanity for patriotism. It's like MK Ultra controlling your brain. Suggestive thinking, causing your perspective to change. They want to rearrange the whole point of view of the ghetto. The fourth branch of the government wants us to settle. A bandana full of glittering generality, fighting for freedom and fighting terror. But what's reality? Read about the history of the place that we live in, and stop letting corporate news tell lies to your children. Flow like the blood of Abraham through the Jews and the Arabs, broken apart like a woman's heart, abused in the marriage, the brink of holy war, bottled up like a miscarriage. Embedded correspondents don't tell the source of the tension, and they refuse to even mention European intervention or the massacres in Jenin. The innocent screams, U.S. manufactured missiles and M16s, weapon contracts and corrupted American dreams. Media censorship blocking out the video screens. A continent of oil kingdoms bought for a bargain. Democracy is just a word when the people are starving. The average citizen made to be blind to the reason. A desert full of genocide where the bodies are freezing. And the world doesn't believe that you're fighting for freedom. Cause you fucked the Middle East and gave birth to a demon. It's open season with the CIA bugging my crib. Trapped in a ghetto region like a Palestinian kid. Where nobody gives a fuck whether you die or you live. I'm trying to give the truth and I know the price is my life. But when I'm gone, they'll sing a song about immortal technique. Who beheaded the president and the princes and sheiks.
You don't give a fuck about us. I can see through your facade like a fallen angel standing in the presence of God. Bitch niggas scared of the truth when it looks at you hard. It's like MK Ultra controlling your brain. Suggestive thinking causing your perspective to change. They want to rearrange the whole point of view in the ghetto. The fourth branch.
Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. About another 10 minutes left. Excuse me. About another 10 minutes left in the program. We're going to try to squeeze at least one more call in here. Let's go to 215-924-215.
Hey, Brother Elliot. How you doing, my brother?
Hey, sir. How you doing?
Hey, Brother Richard. How you doing, Brother Richard?
Oh, he's here. Yeah, he's here. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. It was good seeing you last night, Brother Richard.
Yeah. Yeah, I was telling Elliot I seen you there.
Yeah, so it's good seeing you, man. I just want to kind of like go back on some of the things Brother Jay was saying. You know, I agree with Jay, Elliot, and Brother Richard, and I disagree with him. And when I say I agree with him on the white woman situation, because as I told you, y'all brother last week, and time for the wicked listen audience, like I say, we all know how bad the white man is, and he is bad. But like I always say, and I heard the Honorable Minister Farrakhan said on many occasions, the white man didn't come on this earth by himself. He came through the womb of that white woman. So that white woman can be just as bad as her male counterpart. So I agree with Jay in that respect about this white woman. She's on the prowl now. She smells blood. She wants power. And her power means that she want to, of course, diminish black women. Because like the old saying that the Nation of Islam had back years ago, a white man's heaven is a black man's hell. Well, you can say the same thing with the way. Well, a white woman's heaven is a black woman's hell. You know, the two just don't coexist together, you know. Now, where I disagree with Brother Jay is that, and you disagree with him too, Brother Richard, is that I think it's inappropriate to say that black women don't have no spokesperson. They're not looking for power and justice, not when I know we got strong black women like the sister that y'all had on from Haiti. Remember the other week?
Mm-hmm.
That sister's a strong black woman. That sister's out there advocating for black people, black women, black people, period. So we got local people, Paula people, Sakari Rose, I could go on and on. So we got strong black women out here. It's just the fact that we don't have enough. The problem is that we don't have the unity maybe that we need, but we have strong black women out there that's advocating and stuff, and it's a shame that they don't get the support oftentimes from their black male counterparts. That's where a lot of the problem comes in. Like Minister Farrakhan said, too many black men don't support their black women. You know what I mean? When I say don't support them, they don't advocate on behalf of the black woman. The black woman can't do it by herself. If she has strong black men fighting for her, then a lot of black women can become they can reach the top of society and become all what the Creator intended them to be. But if they don't have strong black men advocating for them and stuff like that, you know, it makes it that much more harder because they're dealing with a society that's already racist and unjust. So I just respectfully disagree with Jay. These black women out here fighting, oftentimes these black women out there fighting stronger than some black men are. So, you know, I definitely disagree with the brother on that. Now, when you look at this situation, and I didn't get a chance to call y'all brothers on Friday, I was going to comment on the Israeli-Palestinian situation, which dummy, you know, about to start, you know, a possibly World War III or possible all kinds of civil and violent protests throughout Africa and what they refer to as the Middle East, which we know as Africa, because it's a reason, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And I'm not just saying this because I'm a Muslim. I'm just telling you the history. It's the reason why every past president over the last 50, 60, 65, 70 years almost, Bush, Reagan, Clinton, Obama, Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter, President Carter, they left that alone. They did not make Jerusalem. This country got their head up Israel's behind. They still did not make it because they knew what a volatile situation that is. This dummy going to do something that they didn't do. And there's a reason why they didn't do it, because they know it's a very touchy, sensitive issue because, you know, Muslims, Jews, and Christians, they have high respect and regard for Jerusalem. And Palestinians, just like the so-called Zionists over there, they want to, they look at at Jerusalem as their eternal capital. So this guy, he's playing with fire, and the ramifications can be deep, and black people especially need to pay attention to that, because that can have ramifications for us as black people in America, you know? So we got to put our geopolitical hats on, because that can have a direct effect on our people. Because the same white races that's over there in Israel are the same white races that supported the white racists in South Africa that was killing our people wholesale. They supplied the racist South African regime with all the weaponry to murder our men, women, and children. So you're dealing with the same kind of mindset, same kind of entity there. You know, it would behoove us as black people to really, you know, pay. This is why I miss a sister like Cynthia McKinney that's in Congress, because Cynthia McKinney will be pointing all these things out right now. You don't see that's where her voice is being missed right now in this critical time, Ellen and Richie. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, this is important stuff, man. What this guy's doing is dangerous. But see, again, white America is going to pay a price. This is why I agree with Jay on this. See, white America is going to continue to pay a price for this guy, because this guy, like I said, he's reckless. He don't care. He's a typical white supremacist, if you will. I mean, this guy he just don't care. He went against the advice of his own cabinet, because this guy is just so, you know, again, this America they deserve, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you read Fall of America, he says America is going to become the laughing stock of the world. He said this back in 73 when the book was published, because white America is going to elect leadership that's going to make America the laughing stock of the world. And you tell me who represents more of a laughing stock and a mockery to the world than Donald Trump. I mean, this guy is an idiot. He put the I in idiot. He's beyond even comprehension. See, it's one thing to be stupid, but it's another thing to be stupid. You know, this guy he lacks basic common sense, you know. So, but see, he's white, so it doesn't matter. He still benefits from white male privilege, white men. I'm sorry, Richard.
Yeah, let me ask you this.
Yeah, sure,
do you
Rich,
think that this decision falls in line what used to be called the neocons when they were in office and was, I think that was around Bush the Younger and Bush the Elder, the neocons as it relates to supporting Israel uncompromisingly, does this here, like, is this a continuation what they were putting in place?
Yes, sir, Brother Richard, without a doubt. And it even supersedes that, because he's pushing to a very religious, and when you deal with religion and faith, it's even more volatile now. See, them idiots was doing it from a political thing, but this guy dealing with religion now. And, you know, religion is one of the most dangerous sensitive issues you can deal with and stuff, you know what I mean? But see, you got to ask yourself. See, again, this is where the racism comes in, that Brother Richard and Brother Elliot. You got to ask yourself, why is the United States from day one, they took these garden variety Europeans, because that's really odd. They are, these people that call themselves Jews, they're not even real. They're just garden variety Europeans. They walk around like Minister Farrakhan said in a garment that is not theirs. But you don't have enough courageous black people to tell those white folks over there in Israel that call themselves Jews, you're not even a real Hebrew Israel. You're nothing but Europeans. The people of that land are black people, people of color. You're nothing but Europeans that came from everywhere in Europe, and then you went to somebody else's land and took it over by thievery, murder and deceit, and you call yourself the people of the book when you are not. You say you are Semitic, but you are not. And you had the audacity to call somebody anti-Semitic that questioned your authenticity. You know what I mean? When they question whether you're authentic or not, you call them anti-Semitic. So you got to ask yourself, why is the United States invested so much? Why in 1948? You know, Ellen Richard, you cannot find the state of Israel on any map before 1947. That's a fact. That's not a pain. That's a fact. You created this with the United Nations. You used your own Uncle Tom, like Ralph Bunche and the rest of them. As a matter of fact, Ralph Bunche was one of the spearheaders. Now the white racist Zionists don't even mention Ralph Bunche's name now. All they mention is Theodore whatever his devil name. But all they do is mention him. They don't even act like Ralph Bunche never even existed. You know, that hectic Negro was one of the spearheaders behind that. You know what I mean? But you got to ask yourself, why are you investing so much in this little tiny nation? Because, again, that's where the racism comes at. You're doing it twofold. You're writing black people out of history who are the troop inhabitants of that land, people of color. You're writing them out of history. You're trying to write them out of the history books. And then you bring your anti-Islamic slant there. You know what I mean? Because they're anti-Muslim and stuff. The Zionists, the white racists, the supremacists, whatever. So they're anti-Muslim, the anti-black, anti-African. So they they're getting a 3-for-1 deal. So you put these white Europeans over there, you call them Jews, and that way you're demonizing Islam, you're demonizing black people, you're demonizing Palestinian people. So you're getting a 3-for-1 deal. And think about it, Ellen Richard. This country sends millions of dollars in aid to Israel every year, our taxpayers' money. You don't have no say, so it goes to Israel. If I had my say, I wouldn't want to donate a dime to them, but I had no control over that. But y'all tax money go to Israel. Why they telling you as a black man, Elliot, and you as a black man, Richard, they don't have money to fund our schools. You understand what I'm saying? You can't fund our schools in the black community. You can't make sure that black folks have a decent standard of housing and living, but you can get my damn money from some of your peers in Israel call themselves Jews. Now you tell me right there, that is that not demonic and cynical and racist and vile? Think about that, Ellen Richard.
Yeah, well, it's just according to the letter of the law, is taxation without representation.
I couldn't have said it better, Brother Elliot. Exactly. And you notice it doesn't matter and stuff who's in office. It don't matter whether it's Democrat or Republican. They all fall in line. The only president has been critical of Israel, and he waited till he came out of office because he was afraid to do his President Carter. All the rest of them, even if they left office, they'd have been critical. You ain't heard Obama say nothing critical of Israel. President Carter's the only one. He caught a lot of flack, but I give the man credit. He stuck to his guns. He says, look, the way they treat Palestinians over there, he says, no different than what the white bigots treated our people in South Africa. He compared Israel to a modern-day apartheid. You know what I mean? He caught flack for it, but he stood by it. You know what I mean? But every past president, Democrat, Republican, has kissed this little nation's behind, no matter they look the other way when they murder innocent men, women, and children in Palestine. They look the other way, but one damn Jew get killed and the damn world comes to an end. You know what I mean? Oh, it's like the world gonna come to an end, you know? So you gotta ask yourself, why is all this investment in this little tiny nation, made-up nation called Israel, at the expense of black? Like I said, when they give all that money to Israel, black folks suffer. Like I say, two things that kill the plight of black folks in this country, Brother Ellen Richard, is they all this money get to the United States military and the Pentagon for weapons of mass destruction to kill people, mainly people of color, and then all the money they get to Israel, money that could be used back here in America, as Brother Wayne, rest his soul, would say, a modern-day Marshall Plan that could build up the infrastructure of black communities all across America. That money is given to Israel into the military, and that's not no act. They do it deliberately, but by you tearing down schools, Elliot and Rich, in the black community, what the hell are you building up private prisons? Now you tell me these people ain't got a master plan for us. They got a master plan for our self-destruction. And that's why it's so important, Brother Elliot, like you have always said, for our people to get ourselves together and determine our own self-determination. And like you said, Brother Elliot, in your clip that you played, stop listening to these sorry behind leaders that have sold us out in the past. It's time for a new paradigm now, because we see what these people don't have no good for. They have nothing but murder and mayhem for our people in jails and prisons and slave farms, whatever, modern-day slave, if you will. So it's important that we get rid of this so-called old guard black leadership and have black, progressive black men and women in now that's going to lead our people forward. I'm talking about the ACES Caliphs. I'm talking the Black Lives Matter, the Cynthia McKinney's, the James Clemens, I'm talking about progressive black leadership that can lead our people forward, because our people will never get anywhere in this country falling behind that old guard because they are comfortable and stuff. John Lewis, like I said, God bless the brother, he did his part and everything. I feel bad that the man took a serious beat down at the hands of those racist pigs on the bridge in Alabama, but it's time for John Lewis to step aside. It's time for Charlie Rangel, all them people to step aside. You need progressive people, young people in there now, or either progressive people and more conscious people like James Clemen to take our people forward. I know Brother Clemen is getting up in age now, but just a person with him and Claude Anderson ideas, the old elders that can move our people forward. But people like I said, John Lewis and all them, they got to go, because, like I said, they stagnant. They holding our people back. Because, like you said, and of course, Elliot, that idiot that we got here in Philadelphia, the congressman, he's a joke. I don't even want to mention his name. He's a joke. You know what I mean? See, people like that are truly impeding the progress of our people, man. And they have got to be, put to the side, for lack of a better word, you know?
Well, Joe, thank you for your call, man.
Thanks, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Y'all, good show as usual, brothers. Y'all take care.
Peace.
You take care now.
Richard, we didn't come to an end of another program. We did have one more, but we done went over, so we'll hold them over till next week.
Okay, then.
I mean, unless you want to, it's up to you. You make the call.
Uh, I'm over.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. I know it. I know it. Yeah. So, listen, I just want to let everybody know the schedule again for this week, just in case you're not familiar with it by now. It's Mondays at 11 o'clock. I want you to be tuned in at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for African Perspectives with Brother Oshie. That's Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., African Perspectives with Brother Oshie. On Wednesday, Revive is back with Sister POC. Wednesday evening, 8 to 10, that's Revive with Sister POC. On Thursday, Us Lifting Us, Black Economic Empowerment Program. It'll be on Thursday evening, 9 to 11. And then Friday morning, again, we're back with Brother Oshie and African Perspectives from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday morning starts out with SST, Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, for the Troy Wilmore's program from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Another program scheduled for Saturday afternoon. We got to get him kind of up and running, which is Dr. Rogers and African Perspectives. Saturdays from 4 to 6 in the evenings. And then Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. with Sister POC and Revive. And then Sunday evenings, a time for an awakening at 7 o'clock. Oh, and on Fridays also, I don't know how I skipped that. Fridays at 8 p.m., time for awakening. So that's the schedule for this week, Brother Richard. As again, new programs being added in January. So, Brother Richard, we come to a conclusion of another program. And I want to thank everybody for listening to the program this evening. Lively discussion, as always, and we'll be back on Friday, Lord willing, to continue on this path towards an awakening. Peace.
If you're driving through the country on a lazy afternoon, or you're watching your children playing after school, they seem to be so unaware. I know the things that they'll soon have to take care of. We've got to do something, yeah, to save the children. Soon it will be their turn to try and save the world. Right now they seem to play such a small part of. And little Mary, she said she got to teach school. If we know, all we say we know about the problem. Thank you.
to save the children. Soon it will be their chance to try and save the world. We've got to do something, yeah, to save the children. To save the children. To save the children.